Now we're going to go and get a little more in depth about the conflict in Kenya during the violent reaction to a disputed presidential election. A personal perspective. Joining us is Ken Okoth. He lives in Washington, D.C., but also runs a school for orphans in Kibera, Kenya. That's a shanty town in the capital city of Nairobi. Ken has been on the phone a lot these past few days trying to help his family there get out of the country. First, Ken, personally, how is your family? How are they dealing with what's going on in Kenya?
It's been very sad, but I'm happy to report we succeeded in getting 7 members of my family out to Tanzania, where they're going out as refugees now.
And what's the circumstance like? Are the refugee camps clean? Is there a Red Cross there? Is it just kind of they're fleeing and hoping for the best?
They fled by bus and are hoping for the best. They're going to actually just stay at a hotel in the city of Arusha in Tanzania. And then we'll see in a couple of days how the situation turns out.
But that's the plan, just for a couple of days, hopefully for them, let things cool down and then return.
If that's what happens. If not, we just want to be sure that it's not too late to get out.
And tell me about the school that you run in Kibera. Is it safe and are the kids safe?
The school is safe, but the kids are not. The kids are from families who live in the slums, and there's been a lot of violence in the last 6 or 7 days, and many of their families, we are told, can't be tracked down, and some of them are living in a displaced camp where the people in Nairobi who can't get out are living, and the Red Cross is trying to feed them.
We heard earlier that 50 or so people died in a church that was set afire that they used as a sanctuary. Are you using the school as a sanctuary, or do you worry about having a big central meeting place that it could become a target?
Yes, we can't use the school as a sanctuary because there'd be a target. The folks we have who run this school would not have the resources to feed anybody. They would have no water. They'd have no food. So getting them to this school would just be asking for trouble.
Now, just out of curiosity, tell me about the circumstances that you live in the United States, but you do run this school. You're not just a donor. This is really your school. How did that happen?
That happened in a very interesting way. I grew up in Kibera in Nairobi, and I decided to give back. I had gone to school in the United States on a scholarship to St. Lawrence University, and I told myself I would never forget where I came from. So I went back, and every summer I go back when I'm not teaching here in America. I go to Kenya and try to help. And I found this school started by members of the community. And I said I'd help them. And after helping them for 2 years, it quickly turned to, oh, this is a guy who's helping us the most. Now it's Ken's school. So that's how it turned out to be.
Now, when you say you grew up in Kibera, were you middle class by Kenyan standards, or were you a poor kid?
Totally poor.
And it was just a scholarship that saved your life?
Yes.
Essentially? All of Kibera is a slum still.
It's a huge slum, and the people are totally neglected by the government.
Now, is it a slum based on ethnicity, or are there people of all the major ethnicities in that slum?
All the people from different parts of the country live together in the slums. Anyone who moves to the city and has nowhere to start, they start off in the slum. Some of them can make it out if they get good jobs. Some of them never get good jobs, and they're stuck there for generations.
Well, do the people in the slum identify mostly as members of their tribe or mostly as members of their class?
As members of their class, that is the biggest thing that identifies the people in the slums. And they coexist regardless of their tribes. These are people who are very little. They live on $2 a day or less, and they help each other out every day. For instance, the orphans who go to the Red Cross school, many of them are adopted by people in the community who are not from their ethnic community. So these are people who help each other out, and they know they have no other support network.
And yet we're hearing that so much of the violence is tribal-related, Kikuyu versus Luau. Is that your understanding, or can you just analyze that and explain how that could be?
Yes. Some of that is true in Nairobi and in other parts of Kenya. This is very unfortunate. It's very shocking because it hasn't really happened in this way before in Kenya. And it's just the way the politicians have played the elections and the poorest people who are being riled up to go out and fight for their rights and ask for a democratic vote, feeling they have no other way to respond, have unfortunately attacked innocent people from the Kikuyu community. So in Kibera, Kikuyu shops have been targeted, and so many of them have been burnt. That is true, and it's a huge, huge shame.
Mwai Kibaki, who is the current president, who says he's still the president, even though international observers dispute that, he is a member of that Kikuyu tribe.
Yes.
And as a result, people who are upset with him maintaining his claim on the presidency have no way to get to him, so they get to his kinsmen and his tribesmen.
Yes, and what has happened is, in the last couple of days, what happened is the people in Kibera started sobering up and talking to each other again and saying, well, these people are innocent, let's stop the violence. And they started having groups within the community in Kibera, having committees to do peaceful walks within Kibera, to get together at churches in Kibera and say, stop the violence, stop the targeting of the Kikuyus. So that has been something that's been happening under the radar. It hasn't got much attention, but local people within the community have tried to do that.
What's your ethnicity, Ken?
I am from the Lua tribe.
You are from the Lua tribe?
Yes.
And most of the people you help in your school are Kikuyu?
The people I helped in from my schools are not from one community. They're
right.
From all the communities, including Kikuyus, Luos, Luyas, Kambas, all of them. They're all mixed.
Is it your analysis that if the politics sorts itself out and if we have a true answer, either a true accounting of who's the president or somehow, you know, Desmond Tutu comes in, helps heal the situation, that what is being portrayed as ethnic and tribal tension, that will dissipate once the politics takes care of itself?
Yes, I think that will dissipate because the people have shown great capacity for living and working together. This is just the leaders are playing a very bad, nasty game in Kenya, and it's a poor people who are suffering.
What does the opposition candidate who claims an international observer seem to have, he has some point, Odinga, what is he doing to quell the violence, if anything?
When he says he actually has a very strong following, including the people in Kibera, and when he says people should calm down and stop fighting, they will calm down and stop fighting. And my hope is that he will come out very unambiguously and say, you should stop fighting, you should stop demonstrating. If he had the power to say, they shouldn't have the demonstration they were going to have today, and people would follow his orders. So he still has a very strong following, and I hope he will call for people to back down from the demonstrations, back down from the fighting, and that let them just find a political solution.
And finally, Ken, whenever I talk to someone from Africa who cares passionately about Africa, they're very frustrated that Americans seem to always be of the opinion, something like, oh, it's Africa, those people are always killing each other. Is there, you know, a succinct message that you could tell listeners to disprove or disabuse them of that thought?
I think Africa is a very beautiful place with very thoughtful, caring people. They're not different from Americans. They're very generous to each other. And especially in Kenya, even amongst the poorest people in places like Kibera, you see them helping each other out, starting community schools, for instance, like Red Rose, to help each other out. They don't have enough public schools. They don't have orphanages. And they take these kids in and they take care of themselves, not sure that they'll get support from anywhere else. So I just want to say that there is another side to the story in Africa, and people should check it out. We've got websites online showing the work, for instance, happening in the Kibera community.
Okay, and we will link to the website from our site. Thank you, yeah. Ken.
Well, welcome. Thank you.
Ken Oketh runs a school in the Kibera slum of Nairobi, where much of the recent violence in Kenya has been taking place, and he lives outside D.C., where he is a history teacher. Again, thank you.